over into the lives of others. And I want to remind you of feeding those who are hungry, clothing those who have no clothes. I never really got this parable, the sheep and the goats. Well, what's so special about separating sheep and goats? Until I went on a sabbatical visit to Niger in West Africa to visit my friend Brad Womble, who is an American missionary who worked in Niamey, the capital of Niger, and he took me out and spent some weeks with him, and we went out into the villages and to one of the marketplaces. And going to the market that day, there were hundreds, thousands of people coming from all directions to come to this massive marketplace. And when we arrived, the women there were dressed so colorfully in all those African outfits. It was fantastic. And the women were gathered in one place. The men were gathered in another place, all talking. And as you moved into the market, you went beyond the herbs and the spices and the fruit and the vegetables that everybody had brought to sell and to buy. You move beyond them to the livestock. And one of the most haunting things, which you could hear animals being slaughtered in the back. And it's the most horrendous noise, cattle being slaughtered. And before that, there were the sheep and the goats. And they'd all been sheared so that you could see all the lovely flesh and meat on them, because that's why people were going to buy them to take home and cook. But you couldn't tell which was which, because the sheep and the goats look exactly the same. So even when they're butchered, you can't tell the difference apart from the tail. Let me get this right. The goats have long tails and the sheep have curly tails. And this parable suddenly made more sense, you see. Why is Jesus separating the sheep and the goats? Because nobody knows who's who until judgment day, when it's his judgment. This just adds to what we've been seeing in the scriptures over the last weeks about God being the judge. Jesus, last week we were looking at him saying, it is for judgment that he's come, but it's all about his judgment and not ours. This is a challenging passage, isn't it? Jesus on judgment day separating people like this shepherd, parting the sheep from the goats. And it's a disturbing passage for talking about judgment in this powerful way, and also this emphasis on what we do, the good works. You know, this is not the traditional evangelical understanding of faith, is it? Jesus' words make us feel uncomfortable and cause us to ask, so which am I, Lord? Am I a sheep or a goat? And when you ask that of the passage in Matthew 25, the response Jesus gives doesn't help. In fact, it makes you feel worse, because he says, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. A tough response. So we ask again humbly, Lord, when did I see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or needing clothes or sick and in prison and not help you? But the response continues to disturb us. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Gareth Wild, Baptist minister who works for BMS, has put the gist of this sermon together. He's been to South Sudan a couple of times to visit the camps, and he's sharing some of his struggles here. He says this, I find myself thinking of the few donations I gave to this or that charity or community project, or moments when I've assisted someone in need. But is Jesus really suggesting I could earn my way into heaven and balance my bad deeds with my good deeds? If so, then I, of all people, find myself on scales that swing in an undesirable direction. No one can erase their sins through their good deeds. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so we have these verses in the New Testament. I think Paul's got some of them ready for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And Ephesians 2, verse 8. It is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not yourselves. It's the gift of God. It is salvation by faith we preach. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We know all of this. This is the evangelical message. Salvation by faith alone, in Jesus alone. But if we only had these passages from Matthew 25 and perhaps the book of James, then this parable is not about separating faith from works, but about creating faith that works. This love that is poured out to others. And for the least of these, in James chapter 2, verse 17, we have similar words. In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds. I'll show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there's one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Completely consistent with Old Testament teaching, which shows God's heart for the widows and the orphans, the hungry and the poor, for the least of these. And Gareth Wilde talks about his first visit to the South Sudan, where he went to a pastor's conference. It was the Baptist Convention of South Sudan, and they were introducing Jesus through solid Bible teaching. Then suddenly, crisis struck, and 1 year later, these pastors themselves had become refugees. And when he went back for a second visit, their ministry had taken on a fresh dimension as they had to express their faith not just through teaching, but with practical love for the most vulnerable. So as we've seen in the video, these pastors were now contributing to the safer pregnancies of mums using blood pressure monitors. They were providing food for the hungry, shelter and sustainable crops for the internally displaced, with a BMS-funded agronomist from Uganda. They were giving out and repairing wheelchairs for those with disability and mobility issues. They were not doing it to provide incentives to people to become Christians. They were not making rice Christians. This was integral mission and making their faith work. So I guess the challenge for us today is to nurture that relationship with Jesus that can show itself in humble, loving, sacrificial service for others, especially the physically and spiritually hungry, the physically and spiritually poor, the physically and spiritually unhealthy. This is what this illustration is to do. It's all about. There's a story told of Martin of Tours, a Roman soldier who became a Christian as he came across a beggar. So you have a Roman soldier meeting a beggar. With no money in his hand, Martin removed his worn and frayed cloak and ripped it in two, giving half to the grateful beggar. That night he had a dream in which Jesus came to him wearing half of a Roman soldier's cloak. And an angel asked Jesus, "Where did you get that cloak, Jesus?" Jesus replied, "My servant Martin gave it to me." The deeds that we do because of our faith in Jesus can have that impact. What will you expect to hear from Jesus when you face him on Judgment Day? What will I hope I'll be one of the sheep that hears his voice with faith, but asking myself time and again the question, has my faith worked for others? Has my life been mostly about me, or has my faith worked for others, especially for the least of these? Ask yourself that question. It's the same as filling the glass up and feeling really good, or letting it spill over into the lives of others around. Let's just pause and be quiet for a moment. Okay, we're going to stand and sing another hymn before I lead us in some prayers.
The fruits of his creation, thanks be to God. For the peace to every nation, thanks be to God. For the plowing, sowing, reaping, silent calls, but they are sleeping. While the crypt of death is sleeping, thanks be to God. In the just reward of labor, God's will is done. In the help we give our neighbor, God's will is done. In that world by task of sharing grief and in the harvest we are sharing, God's will is done. For the harvest of the Spirit, thanks be to God. For the good we all inherit, thanks be to God. For the blood burst and the sound us, for the truths that still confound us, laughs of all but God has found us, thanks be to God.
Sit again. Let's pray. Creator God, we pray for those to whom we owe our harvest, all whose labor and dedication enables us to share in the bounty of this world's resources. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for farmers at this time of difficulty for so many, a time of so much change and uncertainty and so many complex issues. one crisis and controversy following upon another, with a compounding sense of mistrust and anxiety for farmers and consumers. Grant your help in overcoming adversity. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for farmers in other lands, denied the resources they need to cultivate their land, overwhelmed by drought, flood, or other catastrophe, oppressed by exploitative regimes or economic systems loaded against them, both they and their people unable to enjoy the due fruits of their labors. Grant them hope, help, and justice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who bring in the harvest of earth and sea, minerals, oil, gas, fish, a harvest often involving danger to life and limb. Grant them skill, courage, and protection. We pray for those who make possible the harvest of technology, scientists, technicians, computer programmers, and engineers, their skills opening up new worlds and untold horizons, capable of so much good, yet so much evil. Grant them wisdom, ingenuity, and a due sense of responsibility. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who help to reap the harvest of minds, teachers, students, researchers, and scholars, each striving to expand our knowledge and enlarge our understanding. Give them patience, dedication, and integrity. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, hear our prayer for all who make available the innumerable and diverse riches of your creation. Equip, inspire, and guide them in their work so that they may steward your gifts wisely to the good of all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we pray for our church, for a sense of unity. We pray for those who are ill or suffering, for all those listed in Take Note, but we pray especially today for our sister Jean and our brother John. Lord, would you be close to them at this difficult time? May they know your peace and your courage. And help us as their church to show that love that comes only from you, we pray. And some moments of silence that we may bring the prayers of our hearts and minds for those people and places that we are most concerned about. And finally, we pray for those projects we've been thinking about today, for BMS World Mission and its work in this refugee camp in Uganda. We thank you for those willing workers and volunteers, those who give their time, energy, And they're all to serve you in this way. Lord, we pray that you'd continue to provide the resources needed to help continue this work. For our friends at Yeldol, for those who work there, and for those who are clients there, Lord, for all the people who enter that wonderful building, that your grace and mercy may be seen and felt. And Lord, help us to continue to be generous in the way that we support the work there. And for the food bank also, Lord, we thank you for those who work there, the volunteers who help to continue to provide the food parcels that are needed every week. We pray for those who come into this building to seek help by having food parcels. Thank you for Leslie, who treats them with so much dignity and love, and pray that they may sense something of your love, your mercy, your peace, and your provision as they pick up their parcels. So we bring all our prayers in the powerful, resourceful name of Jesus. Amen. Refreshments will be available through the back after the service. The prayer team will be available in the back corner after the service. If you could stack 5 chairs, that would be most helpful. We're going to end by singing, "Fill Your Hearts with Joy and Gladness."
Fill your hearts with joy and gladness, sing and praise God and mine. Great the Lord in love and wisdom, majesty divine. He who knows the starry heavens knows the names as they shine. Praise the Lord for his people, praise him, wounded souls his comfort know. Those who fear him find his mercies, peace and pain, and joy for woe. Humble hearts are high exalted, human pride and power laid low. Praise the Lord for time and season, cloud and sunshine, wind and rain, spring to melt, summer's greater, till the roses flow again. Grass upon the marshes, golden valleys thick with grain. Fill your hearts with joy and gladness, praise of peace from your days. Love his laws, declare his judgments, walk in all and ways. He the Lord and we his children, praise the Lord, all people praise.
The seed is sown, the kingdom is growing, God is at work in his people. Offer him your love, your faith, and your life.